Greetings. My name is Nick, and I'm one of the pastors here at St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church. I welcome you to our online service for Sunday, May 2nd. With the provincial stay-at-home order ongoing, we're continuing to offer ministry online as well as by phone and mail. If you're interested in any information about those groups or materials or mailing lists, I invite you to be in contact with our church's office. We're happy to provide more information about that or to be in touch with one of the members of our pastoral team. Just by means of reminder, we're working from home these days and can be contacted by the information that you'll find in the church directory. As I talk to so many of you from week to week, hearing that you're grateful for these means of connection, grateful for the ways that you can be participating in worship while we're apart, but it's just not the same. And I often share in response that we as leaders feel the very same way. Personally speaking, I long for the day when I can speak to you face to face again and not to my old cell phone sitting on a tripod in front of me. In the meantime, though, we're committed as a church community to continue to seek to love our neighbors in this time and to protect the most vulnerable of them and to do what we can to support those who are working to care for them on the front lines these days. And so thank you once again for your efforts with that. As we enter into our time to worship, I want to thank all those who contributed to our service today, as well as those who helped put it together. Our call to worship for today comes from Psalm 77, verses 7 to 12. Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Wish you God's blessings as we continue on in this time now. I would invite you to please pray with me. God, with the late snow and cold a few weeks ago, our thoughts were with local farmers and farm workers, especially those who keep orchards and who grow fruits. And when we think of your work in our lives, God, there are times when spiritual fruit appears without thought, it seems. And there are other times when, like those frost-marked mornings, the growth of that fruit seems threatened. Yet by your Spirit, God, it returns and grows anew season after season. And so, God, may our branches once again be greened these days. May our spirits bud and bloom anew. May our lives bear good fruit in you and through you. Fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. God, we're grateful and in awe when we think of this miracle of new life in our lives. We ask that you would show us what's required today on our parts, what's needed from us to see this fruit grow, whether it's be pruning or to stretch our limbs out and seek places of sunlight, or just to be blanketed by you, gently blanketed by you during a time of harsh weather. God, we lift up our hearts together as a church today. You know each of us, and you know each of our longings and needs. So many of us are weary, God. So many of us are tired of this all and just tired of being tired. God, we're exhausted from being disconnected from one another. We're exhausted by alternative forms of connection. We find ourselves asking, how long? We find ourselves wondering if this will ever end. God, we pray for our wider community and our worlds, for those who are sick and those who are suffering, for those who are mourning loss in these days, for those who provide care for all of them, for those who labor tirelessly, those who work extended shifts and overtime days to do so. We pray for those who continue to teach and learn in important and necessary but uncomfortable ways. God, in the midst of all this, we pray that you would restore our souls. Give us fresh water for our roots and summer warmth for our leaves. Give us strong trunks that stand firm and stretch tall in these at times harsh elements. Give us eyes to see those whom you've planted near to us and a sense of encouragement as we reach out to one another. Give us a sense of new wonder at the beauty of what you're creating us to be. God, we pray for the gifts that we give these days and the work they continue to support. Thank you for your continued provision in our lives and in the life of our church. We lay before you the rest of this time now. God, we ask that you bless the reading of your words and bless your servant as he speaks. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. Amen.
Holy, holy, holy and mighty, holy, holy, holy and mighty, holy, holy, holy and mighty, holy, holy, holy and mighty is our God. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Oh. Reading from the letter to the Galatians, chapter 5. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Thus far the reading of the Word. Once again, good morning. I'm Pastor Randy Clausen, and today I'll invite you to consider: only in step will we get anywhere. The message today is the completion of our worship series of four themes from Scott McKnight's book, A Fellowship of Difference. In the past 3 weeks, the themes have been God's grace, God's love, Christian table fellowship, and today, the church as a flourishing community. While McKnight envisions the church as a salad bowl, I have to admit I really enjoy a full, well-balanced meal, of which salad is one part. As analogies go, they're helpful to explain concepts, but at times often break down short of a full picture. That said, McKnight challenges us to understand the Christian church flourishes when we rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit. For that, McKnight references Apostle Paul's fruit of the Spirit as a list given to us in Galatians chapter 5. McKnight offers us a lot to draw upon, and today I'll focus on chapter 5, verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Before my wife Renata and I began dating, I spent my summer months hiking and backpacking in the mountains of British Columbia. I was drawn to the strenuous work of wilderness hiking. I valued the act of self-reliance required when everything you have to work with is carried on your back, and the joy of accomplishment of a fabulous view from mountain vista peaks, knowing that the only way forward is to go down. Those were days of maps and compasses, rather than today's GPS and cell phones. As Renata and I grew in relationship, my hiking took on a different pace. Rather than wilderness excursions, we shared more urban-type wanderings. Rather than a heavy backpack I loaded with gear for several days, went walking with Renata, if anything, I carried a backpack as a day pack with several snacks and water. Instead of charting a route to climb a mountain peak with a map, we enjoyed ambling strolls along well-worn paths. Our relationship grew. Our outings transitioned from walking side by side to walking hand in hand to, yes, walking arm in arm. If you've walked arm in arm with another person, it might remind you of the Sunday school picnic three-legged race in terms of having to work together to keep in step. The fun of watching a three-legged race is when those racing get out of step with each other and typically fall down. The key to winning a three-legged race, or walking arm in arm, is that it takes coordinated effort and concentration working together. In Apostle Paul's letter to the Christians in the region of Galatia, the church was in turmoil. Christians were debating and arguing over which was more important, obedience to the law or relying on the saving grace of Jesus. The point of this heated debate was to determine who was excluded and who was included from the fellowship of the church. Apostle Paul, who is evangelist to the Gentiles, makes a passionate appeal to the church to welcome and accept one another on the basis of commitment to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to free all people from the condemnation of the law, so that we all may live life in the Spirit of Christ. Reflecting on current debates within Christian churches, when opinions vary on matters important to the heart, we would do well to listen prayerfully to the Apostle Paul's counsel offered in the letter to the Galatians. Paul's tenacious focus on the life, teaching, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, Paul gives honor also to the law of Moses, while declaring freedom of God's grace found in Christ. Paul's profound assessment, his counsel to the Christians at Galatia, was to say that since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Earlier in my life, I was passionate about hiking in the mountains, and I often went alone. As I grew in my relationship with Renata, I learned to deeply value walking in step with her. Such is my rootedness in the fellowship with other Christians that sharing life together as a Christian community requires concentration and coordination. Only in step will we get anywhere. While the law gives wise counsel for healthy behavior, life in step with God's Spirit gives us freedom, freedom to love as Jesus has loved us. In Scott McKnight's book, A Fellowship of Difference, he speaks of the local church as the place where God is cooking up a future kingdom. McKnight offers a vision of reality, saying, when we look around, we don't see that glorious kingdom so much as broken, wounded, and messed up fellow Christians on a journey. In fact, we see tensions, divisions, and hassles with one another. McKnight continues saying, that is why God has sent the Spirit into us, to transcend our natural abilities, to love one another, and to transform our inabilities, to dwell with one another in a way that witnesses to God's grand experiment, the church. McKnight contends that when we as individual Christians join together with other Christians, we have to rely on the Holy Spirit to guide our life together and our journey with Jesus. It's only when Christians share community, guided by the Holy Spirit, that we will flourish. In a biography of Scott McKnight, who I don't know but became familiar with through this book, it is said that he is professor of New Testament at Northern Baptist Theological Seminary, and that he is an ordained Anglican who has Anabaptist leanings. I was curious, and so I looked up more about McKnight. He shared about those who claim to be Anabaptist in a lecture some years ago, in which he acknowledged that Anabaptists are a wide spectrum of people. However, he draws attention to the influential work of Harold S. Bender's essay, The Anabaptist Vision. I share this because I feel it's necessary for us to understand McKnight's vision of the church as a flourishing community by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is also my critique of McKnight's analogy of the church as a salad bowl, which to me is only one part of a full meal. McKnight's summary of the Anabaptist vision. It's a three-point, traditional outline for Baptist sermons. Anyway, 3 points. First, the Christian life is discipleship with Jesus. Second, the church is a brotherhood, we might say a peoplehood, of fellowship. And third, it is guided by a new ethic of love and peaceful non-resistance. McKnight's summary of the Anabaptist vision. One of the observations McKnight also makes is about the 16th century Reformation. Martin Luther, he focused on the word faith, while the Anabaptist focused on the word follow. The implication being that Luther's faith easily leads to an individualistic theology, while the emphasis on following Jesus leads to Christian community, which was an important foundation for the Anabaptists. Only in step will we get anywhere. In Galatians, notice that when the Apostle Paul lists the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, forbearance, or some translations use the word patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Paul also says, against such things there is no law. This is the larger theme of Galatians, that of dealing with the arguments over law and grace. And there Paul invites us to keep in step with the Spirit. We could share a whole sermon series based on the 9 fruits of the Spirit which Paul identifies. Important to acknowledge here, though, is that the fruits of the Spirit are not characteristic of individuals, but acts of behavior lived out in relationship with others in the community. Foundational to flourishing as a church is for us to live by love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. While Apostle Paul goes to considerable length in Galatians to focus living life with the grace of Jesus, Paul does not entirely dismiss concerns of those who feel strongly about keeping the law. Shared earlier in the first section of our brief reading today, Paul affirms the place of the law, saying, "For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." Love your neighbor as yourself. He says it's the cornerstone of the law given by Moses in Leviticus 19, and it's repeated several times by Jesus, and then shared also by Paul in the book of Romans and by James in his letter to Christians. The context of each of these references is the first commandment that we love God, which is lived out by the second commandment that we love our neighbors as ourselves. The church will flourish when we live guided by the Holy Spirit to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Only in step will we get anywhere. Toward the conclusion of McKnight's theme of flourishing, he says, suffering has a way of making us think about ourselves. Whether we have a small ache or more serious illness, or I might add a global pandemic, these lead us to wonder if we have a dreaded disease, and our tendency there is to think about ourselves. Further, McKnight adds, suffering for the flourishing follower of Jesus accomplishes what the eye does not see, but the heart knows, that God is at work, and that he will turn the crosses of suffering into resurrection of new life. Like our Easter celebrations of Jesus' resurrection, we are longing to celebrate the end of the global pandemic and to experience a different sort of resurrection to new life. This past week, I met a young fellow who lives in St. Catharines, while his parents live in northern India. Given the news reports of the past week, I asked him how his parents were doing. He said they were doing okay, keeping to themselves as much as possible, but they were very aware of how overwhelmed the local hospitals were and the critical lack of oxygen for those who are sick with COVID. For me, this fellow's comments made real the news reports that I've heard regarding the COVID crisis in India. Love your neighbor as yourself. These days, the call of Jesus is for us to extend the kindness of God's grace and love to our neighbors who are next door and our neighbors around the world. These days of the global pandemic, I do lament to hear that there are a few, very few, Christian churches who've taken the stance that they are more important than their neighbors. Those few have taken the position that their right to do as they please is more important than expressing God's love for the community in which God has placed them to serve and to care for. I lament. There are those who view the pandemic with doom and gloom, focused on the limitations of law, or focused on the sickness and death, and perhaps the end of time. The call of Jesus invites us, invites you to his saving grace, found in the love of God, found in a love for neighbor, found in the fruits of the Spirit. Because only in step will we get anywhere. Amen.
Light to the dark.
In closing, a few comments. This morning in my Bible reading, I was sensing the Spirit's nudge to check the prophet Joel. Joel is one of the 12 minor prophets, so-called because they're shorter books of the Bible. Joel is tucked in following Daniel and Hosea and before the prophet Amos. Reading as a meditation, I was struck at how descriptive Joel is for what we are experiencing these days and for the word of hope that he shares. Listening to the voice of the prophet in the first section of chapter 1, I replaced the word locusts with the word COVID to rename what Israel had feared in their day with what we fear these days. Then I re-envisioned the devastation caused by the locusts, who ate everything in sight. And as the devastation of illness and death today that the world is experiencing with COVID. Joel 1, verse 3. Has anything like this ever happened in your days? Verses 5 to 7 sound like a wake-up call. So verse 6, I envision that the illness has invaded our land, powerful and without number. Where the prophet describes an enemy with teeth and fangs, I envision the world where no one, anywhere, has been spared. Verses 8 to 12 describe the grief and despair we all feel as our economy withers and many businesses have been destroyed. The latter part of verse 12, surely the joy of the people is withered away. The prophet Joel seems to describe our plight these days, and I invite you to read the rest of the short book to learn of the hope for the future that God holds out for us. Once again, thank you for joining us today, and I share these words of blessing with you as we go into the rest of our day. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. God's grace and peace be with you.